Trinity Sunday is the day we try to answer that question. Trinity Sunday always follows the Feast of Pentecost. It's the day that we celebrate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the words of our opening prayer, our call to the day, we acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of your divine majesty, worship the unity. I'm sure that's the way you begin your prayers at home, right? It kind of rolls off the tongue, that simple understanding of God. I'm trying to think about how to lead this today. It reminded me of a tennis lesson that I took one time. One of the parishioners at a church where I served before coming here was Todd Martin, who at the time when I was there, he was ranked like in the top 10 best male tennis players in the world. He made it to the finals at Wimbledon. At the time, he was coaching Novak Djokovic, so he was just right for me. And I think Djokovic at the time was winning the French Open or something. So anyway, I was really excited to go take this tennis lesson with this star. But at the same time, I thought, there is nothing of substance he's going to have to teach me, because I was on the far other end of the spectrum. In the tennis rankings, I'm ranked somewhere around 7 billion, 900 million down there. So what I remember the most about it is it was one of the best lessons I've ever had. Because he taught one thing. Well, if you've ever tried to learn any sport or a new language or something, you know there was something that complex. Somebody can give you all kinds of pointers and can kind of drown you with pointers about the way you ought to be doing something. He taught me just one thing. He said, if you hold the racket loose enough that I can knock it out of your hand, you'll hit every shot. And we played. And I swear, I've never hit a tennis ball better than I did in that hour of my life. He taught one simple thing, and I remember it. On Trinity Sunday, it's almost like learning a new sport, where understanding the nature of God is so complex that we could easily get lost in the weeds. We could easily get so confused by trying to understand God that we might just kind of give up. But if I could tell you one thing about the Trinity, one thing about God that we learn on Trinity Sunday, is that everything about God is about relationship. It's all about relationship. So if you feel confused about relating to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's the eternal three in one, and the one in three is the prayer says today, to worshiping the unity in the eternal Trinity of the divine majesty. Well, you're not alone. Give a brief history lesson. It took the church 400 or so years to finally articulate God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The most definitive statement that we have of the Trinity, of the nature of God, is the Nicene Creed that we will recite in a few minutes. Most of the creed was ratified in the year 325 in the Council of Nicaea. But even then, it wasn't finished. What we have is the Nicene Creed. It still took another 56 years. See, at Nicaea, they ended with the line, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. It's kind of as far as they got. The paragraph on Jesus was shorter, too. 56 years later, they expanded it into what we recite today. I think it's kind of cool thinking of what we say in church has been said since 381 throughout the world. That's another sermon. But it took another 50 years or so for St. Augustine to write a 15-volume treatise on the Trinity, which I'm sure you've all read. We're going to kick off the next lecture form and read those 15 books. I can't wait to see you all here. It's going to be great. We even read it in Greek just to make fun of it. No, he finished that in the year 419, and it was then and only then that the church finally had a clear, definitive statement of who we believe God to be, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even Augustine, what separated him from all the theologians that came before him and tried to articulate this, is that Augustine said that even within the nature of God, it's all about relationship. For too long, people have thought about God in terms of what God does, or more clearly, about what we want God to do. We think, well, God the Father creates us, and God God the Holy Spirit forgives us and redeems us, and God the Son forgives us and redeems us. God the Holy Spirit leads us into this new life and grace. Augustine says, it's God. God does all of that. It's one. But even within the nature of God is relationship. There's this icon in my office I've talked to you all about before in some of my sermons, but it's a very old Russian icon. And it depicts the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity. And in this, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all look something like angels. But they're all sitting around a round table. And in the center of the table is a simple meal, the Eucharist, that we share. There's one meal on the table. But there's the three of them kind of sitting around them. If you pay careful attention, God the Father is looking to the Spirit. The Spirit is looking to the Son. The Son is looking to the Father. There's this perfect union, relationship taking place at this table. The most fascinating part of the image is the fourth spot at the table. That in this circular table, there's a place for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But there's an opening. The opening is for us. And it says that it's God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is drawing us to that table, drawing us to that table, into that meal, into that relationship, within the relationship with God. And that's the God we believe in. None of us come to our faith in God starting off with a treatise on the Trinity. Nobody has ever come to Christian faith and said, before I get into this, I need to read Augustine's 15 books on the Trinity before I get baptized. We all come to our faith through some kind of a glimpse into the nature of God, some kind of relationship. Maybe we see that through the way a Christian community lives out its faith. Maybe you're here for the first time today, and you've walked into the church, into a church for the first time in years, and you're looking for God. Hopefully you will see God in the way that this community treats one another, in the way we care for one another, in the way that we live out our faith out in the world. Maybe you experience God today in the Eucharist as you come to this table on your own. Maybe you experience God through prayer. But for us, to understand who God is, it comes all through relationship. Some of you maybe are married. Some of you might have been married for a long time. Hope and I have been married for 10 years this year. What I find that after 10 years of marriage, there's nobody on earth that knows me better than Hope. Some days I think there's nobody that knows Hope better than me. Some days I feel like I barely know her at all. I'm sure she's laughing. I'm sure she's acknowledging that's right. Maybe you have a sibling that you've grown up with in the same house, you have the same parents, you have the same nurturing growing up, but what you find is that as your relationship grows over time, as you live and continue to talk and continue with one another, you learn. There's plenty about your sibling that you know, and there's plenty of things that you're still kind of discovering. The same is true with our relationship with God. As God draws us into that table, as God draws us into that community of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the deeper we get in that relationship, through worship and prayer and service and being in communion with God, the deeper we get, the more of God we know, the more we realize it's just mystery. And there's something wonderfully comforting in the mystery. There's something comforting in knowing that we can never really understand God. We can never really understand what God is up to in the world. But we trust that relationship, that God is always drawing us and everyone else in the rest of the world. In the gospel lesson we hear this wonderful account of Jesus and Nicodemus. This is, I think, the fourth time this year we've heard John 3:16 in church. And if you don't remember it by now, I can't help you out. But Nicodemus is this great teacher. And he's learned it, he's wise, and he's had the best pedigree in education, but he's coming to Jesus because he knows that there's something about Jesus that Jesus 15. To be a faithful Christian is to trust that God is all around us. It's to trust that God is always there, leading us into new life, calling us into new things. God has been there from the beginning. And in the times when we need God most, God is always there, always calling us in relationship. As we remember and celebrate today the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we celebrate the God who draws us in and promises that today, all of our days, all of eternity, we are wrapped up.